And so people don't think that way. We look at ourselves. And there's a certain rightness to that. But there's also a certain rightness into caring for others around you and looking for not just justice, the justice of fairness, but looking for mercy, looking for grace, looking to give and be generous. And frankly, people who do look out for those kind of things, they do get more rewards.
Welcome to WorkWise, the growth mindset for wisdom at work. I'm Ken Kennard, creativity coach and chief creative officer at Accent Interactive. And I'm joined by Michael Boyes of Credo Consulting. And we talk in this episode about fairness in life and in work. So, Mike, here we are on the one-year anniversary of the Freddie Gray situation, where in Baltimore, a black man was arrested, taken custody, and died in the process with the police.
Yeah,
here in Baltimore,
and he died, you know, about a year ago, and then we had a lot of protests in the street, and a lot of it kind of just brought to the surface a lot of anger and frustration in Baltimore, and I think symbolized around the country as well.
And people were saying,
well, I think at heart, you know, there's this cry for people to be treated fairly, equitably, justly. And it feels like it's a violation of their humanness and their worth to believe or just, you know, to perceive or have the reality of not being treated fairly, of being treated less than other people, are different than other people in ways that aren't good. And so there's this cry for fairness and justice in our souls that comes out in all areas of life.
I think that's something that's so basic that I can think of times in my childhood when I was upset that things weren't fair.
Kids are never upset.
Oh,
but you were?
We were very upset, actually.
What were you upset about?
Well, do you know those little boxes of cereal? They come in these little packages. You could buy like an 8-pack or something, and you've got, some of them are really cool. Like you could get the Fruit Loops.
Or Corn Flakes.
Well, Corn Flakes wasn't great, but if you got like Corn Pops, those were sweet.
Or
Captain Crunch.
Yep, you know, Captain Crunch. Like, the sweeter the better.
The sweeter the better, exactly. Right. But if you buy one of those packs, you only get one of each. And with four kids in our family, only one person could go first. And so the oldest in our family got to go first. The next oldest gets the next choice. By the time the third or fourth child gets to choose, like all the cool stuff is gone.
Oh.
And there was this cry, that's not fair.
That's not fair. Yeah, it's not fair.
It's not fair. Like, why should the oldest get preference? All the time.
But was that a rule in your house? Like
with cereal, it's the rule. I don't know why it is with cereal.
But not with other areas.
Well, I'm sure there were other areas too. But.
Well, in my house, so what number were you in succession?
I was 2 out of 4. So that's a pretty good spot, still.
I was 6th out of 7 as a child.
You were lucky to have cereal.
Well, yeah. And we, look, those boxes, those wonderful boxes that you got, they were mythical in my family. I saw other kids get them, and I always longed for them, but we never had them. But I can tell you, I frequently felt the treatment of being unfair. In fact, one of my favorite refrains is, "It's not fair."
Did you ever say that? That you say that like you've done it before. You've got a real refined way of. That came naturally.
It would be difficult to count the number of times I said that. In fact, I'd probably say cried that. In fact, there was a time when I went to my friend's house one day, and his father came home and he asked me, so Mike, what's not fair? I heard you crying in your house the other night. And no boy wants to be caught crying. So that was a bit embarrassing, but I dare say that he heard me and others heard me on other occasions. So I have a strong sense, a desire for fairness.
Why do you think we care about fairness so much? Where does this come from?
Well, you know, I have a theory I've recently formed that I think it comes from our creation. I think that somewhere deep down inside, everyone knows that they were created with great worth and dignity. And when other people don't treat them in ways that they perceive, that recognize that, they perceive it's unfair. They perceive that they have been put down as less than. You know, why wouldn't you treat me like so worthwhile and treat this other person worthwhile, that to me only says to me that you think I am less valuable somehow than that other person. So I think it comes from our creation.
So you think God's inherently built in this idea of fairness?
Absolutely.
Well, then I've got a story for you.
Okay, I want to hear it.
So there is actually a parable that Jesus taught when he was on earth that talks about fairness. I'm interested to know what you think of this. So this comes from Matthew 20. It's the story of a landowner who has a vineyard, and he's trying to get people to help out. So he makes a contract with some men to work in the vineyard for the day. He says, right. You work for the day, I'll give you a denarius, right? That's mm-hmm. your wage. Well, they agree, so they go to work.
Absolutely.
So then he goes about the third hour, he goes out and finds some other people standing around. He says, hey, I've got work for in my vineyard. Would you go and I'll just pay you whatever's right?
Right.
And they say, sure. So they go to work. Mm-hmm. 3 hours later, he comes out, he gets more people, sixth hour, the ninth hour. By the 11th hour, he still finds some people are standing around the marketplace and he says, hey, go work for me. I'll pay you whatever's right. fair. And they mm-hmm. do it.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's time to pay up. And he tells his foreman, you know, pay the last people first. So the people that worked like an hour,
right.
they get paid. And what do they get paid? What is fair? Well, they get paid a denarius, the whole day's wage.
Holy cow.
And then the next people, they get the same. And the people who worked all day, the ones who had the contract, are starting to think, well, if they get a denarius, what do I get?
Probably 10 or 12.
Yeah.
So I've been out here all day long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It turns out, no. They get the exact same pay for a long day of work that these guys get for a short day. And they start complaining. They say, hey, it's not fair that we get paid the same amount. Weren't we bearing the burden at the heat of the day?
Right.
And the landowner says, look, friend, I'm not being unfair. Don't call me unfair here because look, our contract says you work for the day. This is what you get. Am I not giving you what you deserve and what you earn?
Yeah.
And furthermore, isn't it my money? Don't I have the right to be generous?
Right.
Are you jealous because I'm being generous?
Yeah.
So that's, is that fair?
So we certainly see people looking at fairness from two different, at least two different angles. One is, the more hours I work, the more I should get paid.
Yeah.
Right? That's fair. My inputs are commensurate with my outputs. And this person's inputs, you know, they've been working for an hour and mm-hmm. they're getting the same as me. My outputs, that ratio of inputs to outputs different. So that's not right.
Yeah.
But yet a different view of fairness says, well, we agreed to this. Did you agree to an unfair bargain? So what's fair is that we held our agreement with one another.
Yeah.
And then maybe another view is generosity. Maybe the question here isn't about fairness. Maybe the question is about my desire to be generous with people.
Yeah.
It's a different question altogether, isn't it?
Right. So does this ever come up at work for you? I know you do a lot of consulting with people in the workplace there, and you've got multiple parts of the client. You've got the workers, right? Mm-hmm. The team members.
Yep.
And you also have the managers
right.
that are making decisions and that sort of thing. So where do you see fairness coming up for you in the workplace?
Fairness is always in the background. It's always being judged in the background. Just recently, I was having a conversation with some managers the other day about fairness and equity at work. And one person raised the idea and that it wasn't fair that some people could stay late at work and put more effort and time and get more done and therefore have opportunities for promotions and raises and good assignments when she couldn't stay late because she had a family to go home and tend to. That wasn't fair. She was being penalized because of that. And I just thought that was kind of bizarre and myopic, you know, because she made the choice. She's making a choice and she's getting the rewards of family life, of having children to raise and nurture and a husband and family. And those are rewards. She's getting the just desserts of that choice. The people who were staying late at work weren't getting those awards. They were getting different awards. They were getting the rewards of a job well done, of accomplishment at work, of being esteemed at work and having opportunities for promotion, etc. They were getting different rewards, and the fairness was in their choices. Their choices led to the rewards they were getting. And I think to properly view fairness, you have to look at the total reward for all the choices you make. The question's always there, am I being treated fairly? And people are always assessing that because it's a question of their worth. And so everywhere you go, people are answering that. And if the answer is, a person says is no, if I'm not being treated fairly, you're going to have a hard time getting much out of that person. So why should I put the input in if the rewards I'm going to get aren't like the rewards other people should get? I'm at a disadvantage. And so I'm going to be bitter and resentful and angry, like much like the workers were, and say, hey, what about us? And it goes on, not just a one-day contract like these workers, but on and on. And so when the question's answered no, it's a big problem. So it exists every day, everywhere you go.
One of the things I still hear about is equal pay for equal work
right.
for women.
Right.
And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about, like, are we making progress on that?
Yeah.
And how is that working?
Yeah. This seems to be an intractable problem because we've been studying this for a lot of years. And years ago, we found out that there was a big difference. I think it was like 63 cents to a man's dollar. Women earn 63 cents to a man's dollar. Now it's somewhere in the 80s. Women earn 80 some cents to a man's dollar. And we've taken out a lot of the differences due to how long you're going to work. Differences across professions. Engineers don't make the same amount as teachers and nurses. So different professions that women often gravitate towards often get lesser pay, which is a whole other discussion, by the way. But we whittle it down, but it seems to be pretty entrenched in the 80 some cents range. And so it's a question of, well, are women being evaluated somehow as less than men, their contribution is less than men because of their gender? And then the question, and that answers the question, well, are we valued the same way, which hits to the heart of people. You're valuing me differently than these men or less than. And people know. People don't like being told you're worth less. And that's the message.
Right. And it seems like there's also this question of how do you define fairness, right? So right. Is equality the same as equity?
Right. Yeah. So what do you think of when you think about equality? What's that mean to you?
Are you treating people the same regardless of their differences?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you taking their differences into account?
Right.
And I think that was one of the things that I learned as a child in our family was that in my parents' mind, they were not interested in treating all of the children equally
right.
because they saw how different the children were.
Right.
What
right.
they wanted to do is instead treat them appropriately differently.
Or equitably.
Or equitably. Yeah.
So they're being treated in accordance with what they needed or how they behaved.
Or how they were wired or what their skills were or
right.
what their projected future might be.
Right, right. And so, you know, it's a manager's same job is to look at who they have, what their skills are, what their talents are, what they're interested in, how much value they bring to the organization and treat them equitably, mm-hmm. not equally. And we have a lot of confusion about that these days. And I think that, frankly, that we have Bernie Sanders doing so well because a lot of people are interested or they think they're interested in equality. We should all get the same outputs and privileges and opportunities without regard to how much work we put in, the education we did, how we prepared ourselves, and that we should all somehow get the same, you know, the same outcomes or darn close to it. And I think that really people will say that when they are at the lower end of the getting. And when they achieve the higher end, they say, hey, no, wait a minute. I worked hard for this. And so, so people inherently have a desire to get the rewards of their labor. That's what capitalism is built on. And that's part of human nature is to get the rewards that you've earned. And when you strip that away, you strip away creativity, you strip away innovation, you strip away motivation from people when rewards are not given for the hard work and the labor and the effort and the creativity that we put into things. And so it doesn't work so well.
And don't we also see that we have a likelihood to see these things our way? If I'm the one in a certain position, then of course that's the position I think needs to have attention and reward and
So we have a way of bending reality to serve ourselves. It's in this one's called the self-serving bias, right? We have lots of biases. And so we tend to view things that cast us in a favorable light, and we tend to cast our inputs and our contributions as being more valuable and more worthy of reward than others. And that comes into play. So I'm always looking at my stuff and saying, well, certainly mine's better than this person. So if you're looking for a reason for the difference between us, is because, well, I'm better.
Right.
Yeah.
So what I learned in college was that it wasn't always the people that were performing better that got the rewards. I learned about this when we were applying for college, and I found out that not only did you have to score well to get into the college, but if someone else who didn't score very well was a certain race or had a certain kind of background, they were bumped up in line and given the position, not by earning it, but because we're sort of like paying for the sins of our fathers. This is sort of like, you know, social retribution for what had come before. It didn't quite seem fair.
Yeah. So you're talking about affirmative action.
Right.
Right. And it's interesting that you called it social retribution, and others might see it as social restoration.
Right.
Right. And so we're looking at it when you're the white guy who doesn't get the job because we're giving the job to a black man who's supposed to be similarly qualified.
But isn't in this particular case.
Very often it wasn't, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the issue, is they weren't often the intention of the law was not always carried out. The intention was it was when they were, you know, equally qualified.
Yeah.
Right. And so it wasn't carried out that way. So there's two kinds of unfairness going on there. There's procedural unfairness, and there's what we call distributional unfairness. Procedure is, did we follow fair rules, and were the rewards distributed appropriately so? So that's not fair. But then at the individual level, but if you are the architect of a policy or the architect of a country and trying to reshape a culture or a society, maybe your view isn't fairness in the moment at the individual micro level. Maybe your view of fairness is something more broader and over a longer term. Mm-hmm.
Structural.
Yeah. And so, so we have this issue where people weren't treated well or right for a long time, and now at a disadvantage. And so in order to give them a proper footing, we now need to give them an advantage for a period of time. And so it might be fair at societal level and an aggregate level, but not at the individual level, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's crazy. So but you know, and the thing is you know, people don't want to take that aggregate level into play because it's not self-serving,
right?
Right. It makes me the victim of things. So
yeah, and it occurs to me too that when we are in that position, we're not necessarily in a position to judge. How much information do we really have?
Right.
If you look at the landowner situation in the parable, you know, the guy who's working, he doesn't know what arrangements are being worked out with these other workers. Mm-mm. If you look at the affirmative action case, I'm not thinking about the last 400 years of slavery in the United States. Or even in the workplace, when a person's saying, you know, this person's being treated favorably, but I'm not. Yet I seem to be doing everything I can. How much do I really know about what the manager sees and is dealing with individually with those employees?
And that's a very common situation where we have, you know, a problem employee or a person who's perceived as low performer, and people don't think they're being treated or dealt with. And so they say, well, it's not fair that this person gets paid the same thing as I am. I work my tail off and I produce quality work. And you're not even saying a thing to this person. You're not even doing anything. And they really don't necessarily know what that person's producing. They don't know if the manager's dealing with them. And so they're really acting on a lack of information. They're making a lot of assumptions there. And so the attitude is, you know, I'm looking out for me and I should get fair all the time, really can be damaging to the climate in the organization.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. You know, when someone says this, I need my, you know, give me my, you know, fighting for their rights, the kind of climate that creates, the kind of culture that creates is a bunch of self-serving, you know, it can kind of be like an infection in an organization where everyone's no longer are they trying to work together to achieve some higher goal and vision together. They're now just like in it for themselves, looking out
for themselves.
Yeah. And and that's just like a cancer in an organization, isn't it?
It really is. And there's a lot of things that play in that. And we talked about some social issues initially. People carry that stuff in their workplace. So they're carrying a perspective already about what life is like. And so people will find whatever they're looking for, wherever they go. So if you're carrying the disposition where you're looking for things, you're going to find it. And so that's the difficulty. But it also speaks to how managers can create a culture of trust and fairness and equity by how much information they share. Mm. So if you share how you're evaluating work, if you share how you're distributing the workload, if you share instances of high quality work that someone else performs, then people can see the differences more. And you can do all kinds of things to share where people stand on quality and productivity without violating kind of a person's rights and privacy as a performer. So without labeling this person's really poor performer and this person's high, but you can put, you know, individuals post results from different people that are anonymous and put it out there so people can see how their productivity and their quality actually does compare to other people. And that can help that kind of thing.
So then you could get beyond that fairness question, which is really, I mean, if I'm being treated unfairly, I certainly want the right to bring it up.
Right.
But really it's not the question we want to really be asking, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me that we're trying to avoid a negative instead of try to work towards a positive.
Right. Well, give me that one again. I'm not sure I followed that part.
Well, like for example, to be treated fairly, I'm correcting some wrong.
Right.
So now I'm back to neutral.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
so that's the fixing a problem part.
Right.
As opposed to positively, like how can I contribute? How can we work together?
Right.
How can I give dignity to this person? How can I show generosity to this person? What a different parable this would have been, or the story would have been, if the person who worked all day and watched someone get a day's wage for an hour of work. What if their perspective was, how wonderful is this?
Right.
That I work for a guy who's that generous,
right.
who's able to make sure everyone has their daily needs met today, regardless of the happenstance of running into each other at what hour or another. Like, how cool is that, that we get to be in that kind of situation? And I'm so happy for these people who are getting their needs met.
Yeah.
That's just a whole different perspective.
Or considering maybe that I got my you know, I got hired on today because I knew this guy before.
Yeah.
And I had a leg up to getting the work early on, and this guy just met these guys. And so I had the chance, you know, to get more work over the long term, essentially. So so what if we change the question from, am I getting my just desserts, to are other people being edified and helped and considered and getting a chance to contribute?
Yeah.
And I'm out for the greater good. And so people don't think that way. We look at ourselves. And there's a certain rightness to that. But there's also a certain rightness into caring for others around you and looking for not just justice, the justice of fairness, but looking for mercy, looking for grace, looking to give and be generous. And frankly, people who do look out for those kind of things, they do get more rewards because people care for them and they look out for them and they can get more done through those things. But it's not about that though. It's a side issue.
So let's sum it up for the worker. So what would we say to the worker that he can take from this conversation?
Well, I think that I would really encourage people to examine their evaluations of equality, which is getting the same outcomes with getting equitable outcomes, and really examining yourself to say, what are the outcomes? What am I putting in versus what I'm getting out? And to consider the whole picture. If you work a 40-hour work week because you're committed to caring for your children or your mother or doing other things, then you're getting rewards from that. And the equity is in your total reward picture, not in just at what you're getting at.
So don't complain that someone else is getting promoted and rewarded when they're working 80 hours a week and you're not.
Right. You made a choice and you're getting other rewards, and they're lacking the other rewards that you're getting.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not, pick the consequences of your choices, consider that. I think also to stand back and to say, you know, do I really have the whole picture? Because very often you don't. You really don't know how other people are being treated, especially if your manager's dealing with them properly. And so you don't
know. Privately.
And privately, which is the proper piece, right?
Yeah.
You really don't know. And then maybe maybe there's a good reason why other people can be blessed for a time because they need it, or just by happenstance, and be okay with that. But consider really, do you get all the information that you need? And that third thing I would say to employees is really guard yourself, because we can walk into situations being ready to be offended, and we'll find what we're looking for. And to be ready to look for being treated well, and to see that instead, because it's there, and it'll change your perspective on life.
Yeah. How about messages to the manager? I'm thinking of the managers that are making decisions. Yeah. They're trying to be fair. It's part of their job to sort of keep this organization together. Right.
Yeah.
What are the things to avoid there, or the things to look for?
Yeah. Well, first thing for managers is really consider your behavior. Do you have favorites? And is that favoritism because they're high performers, or is it mixed in with other things? Because very frequently people will become high performers by virtue of the treatment you give them, right? So why do you have the favorites you have, and to look at that. And I think also then on the other side of that is to really be careful to share all information you can. Share what you desire, share how you want to treat people, share how you judge the value of work, share the behaviors you want to see. Some people just don't get that attitude is a factor in it, and how positive a person approaches you, or how much support a person gives you is reflected in how much support you give back, right? Mm. And so share with them how you judge, how to give rewards out to people, so they're clear about that. And to really just give a lot of information out, because that is going to facilitate people's perceptions, accurate perceptions of fairness.
Well, it seems like the world is really not a fair place.
It's
when
not.
You look at it.
It's not.
So how should we then live? What should our attitude be?
Mm.
What should our perspective be? It sounds like from these lessons we've looked at and these examples that that cases where there it seems not to be fair can be actually opportunities to check our biases.
Mm-hmm.
Check our perspective and see if we really have as much information as we think.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that admonition to serve and to bless.
Yeah.
You know, this landowner / vineyard guy, he was out there working all day to find people to bless.
Yeah.
And was willing to bless them way beyond what was considered fair for the wage.
Yeah, he wasn't looking for fairness because he wasn't getting what was fair, because he didn't get the work out of them.
Right.
Instead, he was looking to bless.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks to the gospel as well, obviously.
Yeah.
But it also tells us, as employers, employers have a central role in the functioning of our communities and our society. And so they have a role beyond creating economic wealth. They have a role in sustaining our communities, sustaining people. And that role isn't often considered as much today as it used to be. But I think, beware of your biases, managers, and also beware of what information you're sharing, not sharing. Share more, and people will view things more fairly if you are, in fact, being fair. Do you offer all your podcast partners coffee and water and snacks?
Only the ones I like.
Oh.
Yeah.
How do you judge likeness?
The more they're like me, the more I like them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's where I get the word like.
Oh, all right. So I must be a lot like you.
Oh yeah. We're practically the same.
We're practically related.
Thanks for listening to WorkWise. If you'd like more information about this podcast, head over to creativitylabs.us. For more on Michael Boys, head over to credoconsulting.us. And if you're interested more about Accent Interactive, you can visit us at accentinteractive.com.